This episode of Pop Cult Parent is brought to you by Young King Hair Care. Young King Hair Care is a multicultural grooming company for young men. Leveraging plant-based ingredients, Young King creates clean products to promote texture, health, and growth. Inspired by their son Cade, husband and wife team Core and Stefan launched this company in December 2019 with the mission to redefine male grooming for the next generation of black and brown men, giving them the confidence they need to be their best selves 24/7, 365. My two sons have been using Young King Hair Care products since they launched, and I highly recommend everything, especially their leave-in conditioner. Featured on Good Morning America, Shark Tank, Essence, CNBC, and more, Young King can currently be found in the shelves of over 15,000 Target, Walmart, and CVS stores, as well as Amazon. And just for members of Pop Cult, use the discount code POPCULTPARENT to receive 15% off your order at youngkinghaircare.com. That's POPCULTPARENT, one word, to get 15% off your order.
What up, what up, what up, internet? Who you are, where you be, where you at, what you see. This is Pop Cult Parent, the podcast you come to get your updated X-Men information. That's right, we're back at it again, recapping, talking about X-Men 97, Episode 6. I'm one of your hosts, Mark M.F. Jones, and I'm joined by...
This is Neil Zarwai. What's up, Gavin? Welcome back, brother.
What's good? X-Men in the house, let's go!
Gavin in the house. Gavin is having it. Gavin, so Mark, if I could take the mic for a second, There's a reason Gavin is celebrating and doing his Rocky stance, because episode six should be called Gavin Was Right. So let me tell you why it should be called Gavin Was Right. He was right about Professor X coming back. If you remember, I think, was it last episode or two episodes ago?
It was the last episode.
Dude, it was two episodes ago. I said Professor X ain't eight. Yo, he done. He was two there.
So he got that right. He said Professor X coming back. And then Gavin was right about Storm getting her powers back. Gavin was like, Storm's gonna get her powers back like soon. He's like, I need a Life Death Part 2. The episode was called Life Death Part 2. And she got her
bad for 100, dog.
And then the last one, not to like go to the end of the episode, Gavin, in like maybe your first X-Men reaction, you said the big bad's gonna be Sinister.
I said that too. I sure did.
Gavin, how do you feel right now, brother? We'll talk about the episode as a whole, but like the three big predictions that you threw out there were all right. So I'm curious on this. Is your time. What's this?
I wish I had more props. Paper to throw in the air. Because look, we talked about it. We said it. We said Mr. Sinister was going to be the big bad. We said Charles Xavier was coming back.
He just needs the.
No one can hear him right now.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all audio listeners are like, what is happening?
they couldn't hear all that?
No, the screaming, once you scream, it sounds like you've like fallen into.
Okay, yeah, you use some LeBron smoke, Gavin. You know, just like hold on, the hold chalk on, hold can on, just.
Hold on. Let's go.
Yay.
Because, for real. I was so hyped when I literally said, Niels, I told you Sinister was the big bad. I told you that joint.
You did.
And I said, Charles Xavier is not dead.
You said that.
And look where we at, man. In two fell swoops in one episode. That's exactly what happened, man. And Professor X is still concerned about his X-Men. Come on.
It's chill,
I thought he was going to be like, you know what? I'm on a different plane. I'm on a different level. That still, he could not get away from, even if he wanted to. Professor X is back. We needed that, and it was awesome.
His babies.
Let's jump into it, y'all. let's jump into it. Let's start with, like, when the episode comes back on, I believe we are starting in the Shi'ar Empire. Kind of want to say a few things on like our return to the Shi'ar and meeting Lilandra. So there was a few folks that we were introduced to.
We already knew Gladiator and the Imperial Guard. We've seen them during the Phoenix Saga. We've seen them a few times. If memory serves me right, we got introduced to Gladiator swooping down, picking up Juggernaut by his Achilles.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And swinging that sucker. And just threw him across
Threw him into the horizon. He's just gone, dog. No more. I don't even know if Juggernaut came back into the episode.
And the entire few episodes before that, we were seeing Juggernaut demolish everyone and everything. And then this guy just swoops down, picks him up, throws him away. And we're like, whoever this man is a problem. I saw that and I was like, Gladiator is a problem. We want no smoke with that dude.
Gladiator really seemed like Superman, didn't he? He just blew folks away. Like, he was like the trusted guard. Gladiator was that guy that everybody was like, peace and order will be kept if Gladiator is right over there. You know what I mean? I love that. Like, he was solid from way back when to way back now. That was a great transition.
It was a dope opening. The animation with that space battle was dope. And then you had Ronan in there. I'll say this is where my knowledge of the X-Men, like, I was like, oh, cool, new people. Bird lady.
So
alien man.
So you mentioned Ronan. We all know Ronan because Ronan was in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, but Ronan is a part of the Kree. So this was highlighting the Kree Shi'ar battle. I believe like it's always the Kree, the Skrull, and the Shi'ar, like the big three superpowers in general in the universe. So we were watching like the Kree and they were looking for the supreme intelligence. That's like the hive mind that has all the knowledge of the Kree Empire in this big old tube head. But it's actually technology. It's low key the internet, but you know, whatever. Like the supreme entity is the internet.
Plug it in and plug it back. Unplug it, plug it back in. It ain't working.
And so Ronan is just like, he's like their guardian or whatever. Yeah. And okay. So we saw Deathbird. Deathbird is Elandra's sister. Mm-hmm. I know it says that in the episode, but like that is a comic book character. Deathbird is like known in the Shi'ar Empire. And we also saw somebody else. And his name is Vulcan. Have y'all ever heard of Vulcan before?
Mm-mm.
Spoilers. Vulcan, he looks like emo, had like red powers and like the red psychic powers that he had when you look at it and he was like shooting stuff out of his hand, it kind of looked like Cyclops's optic beams. And that's intentional because that's Cyclops' third brother.
His name is
Gabriel Summers.
Why didn't he do shit then? I mean, why didn't he do anything then? What?
Because for years you don't know who he is and what he does. And then slowly but surely, you find out that he's an Omega level mutant. And then he takes over the Shi'ar Empire. And his arc is called like Emperor Vulcan. And the X-Men have to go take him down. And Cyclops finds out he's his brother. Like at some point, he finds out he's his brother. He's like, I have a third brother, which means when his ship got shot down and the Shi'ar took his parents, his mom was pregnant with his littlest brother, who turns out to be an Omega level mutant and takes over the Shi'ar Empire. The Summers family is ridiculous. That is what I'm trying to tell y'all.
That's why Mr. Sinister wanted Jean and Cyclops' child, because of that bloodline.
So that Summers blood. That Summers blood.
It wasn't about Jean. It was about the Summers blood.
They have three kids, and all three kids turn out to be really strong mutants. That's interesting. Either they belong together, or they should have been very far apart from each other.
Yeah.
Either way, the thing.
Yeah, I do like I'll say that, and we'll get into some of the show. Like, I love the insults on this show when Ronan's like, this pigeon, don't let this pigeon intimidate you. But I know when Deathbird, right?
Yeah,
when she steps on, I think it's Ronan's head and her heel.
The heel,
I like someone's enjoying this. Someone is getting off on this. So one of those animators was like, just a little too, like, yeah, the blood
heal down. Let it bleed a little bit.
Hey, Tom, you done with that? Yeah. Just hold on. I was like, yo, someone is, because it didn't have to do that. She didn't have to have the stilettos on. Someone was like, yeah. Hey, man, we need those drawings. I was like, in a minute.
It's not even a full second. You really need to stop.
They'll be finished when they're finished. All right.
Did y'all see the Argyle? Y'all saw the new movie with Bryce Dallas Howard and Henry Cavill and Sam Rockwell and Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
Argyle?
No, yeah, it was good. Apple, right? Yeah, I haven't seen that.
It was good. If you like The Kingsman, you'll love that same director. But it also hinted at the fact that they were very obsessed with the heel twist, like head move that you were just talking about, Mark. Like, and that's why I was laughing, because I was like, yo, it reminded me of that exact part. Like, it was very similar to both of them.
Everyone got their thing, and someone, it was doing it for someone.
No judgment. No judgment. It is what it is.
No judgment.
So just staying on this, there were some funny moments when Charles got revealed to the rest of the Shi'ar Empire. And then, mm-hmm. like, Lalandra's like, he's Terran, but I love him.
Daddy, it's
like,
I love
guess
him.
Who's coming to dinner?
Hey, man, they are like, they're like, what do they say? Your lover with his, he's born on the wrong side of the stars.
Yeah.
His ghetto planet. I was like, yo, come on.
They did say ghetto planet. That's that hurt, the problem.
I was like, she called our whole universe ghetto. And you know what? Planet. Compared to the Shi'ar Empire, it is a little ghetto. I kind of get it.
Because, like,
felt some type of way about it.
Even when her and Charles were like walking, you could see people like, look at that. Hi, Your Majesty. Good to see you. dirty Terran. Dirty.
Bro, they were looking at him like, where's your eyeliner?
Charles.
Like, you got your own bald eyeliner. You ain't got no mascara all up on the side of your cheek.
I just see a bunch of them in a spaceship, and Charles comes by and they're like, roll them up.
Eyeliner is messed up, yo. How you get new legs and no eyeliner? You're not accepted. Like, wait a minute.
They were looking at him real like, sideways.
Done. Yeah, done, they did not. Done. Didn't know. Hey, she stood by her man. She's like, yo, this is my man.
Yo, she saved me. He saved us from my evil brother. He stopped the Phoenix from killing the universe. And he's a teacher. He's an educator. He does great things in the community for oppressed people in his jankety planet. And I love him. And they all look like,
yeah,
yeah, they did. They're like,
I guess if that's what you.
It wasn't a smile in the room, and there was a lot of people there, and they were just like,
Terran this and Terran that. Oh, yeah,
and you know, very nasty. You know, like she took Charles to like a barbecue, and there was that one person who was trying to be nice. She's like, you know, I really like Terran music. Like, y'all dance really nice. Y'all Terrans dance.
Yeah. The way y'all like use dinosaur fossils to like use transportation. I think it's cool. I know it's polluting your planet, but I get it. I think it's cool.
Hey, can we just say, yo, I just want to give a shout out. Charles and Magneto must have went to the same swag school, because these brothers are holding it down, dog. Charles is holding it down so well. She's like, you need new legs. You need new legs, Lieutenant Dan. And like, you already handling business. We get you some new legs. Hey,
the shoulders were out, though. The shoulders were out. Y'all saw the shoulders? Like, hey, he was like, I've been wheeling this joint around for 20 years. Y'all gonna see these shoulders. Like,
y'all gonna see them. Hey, he got nice posture and everything. He had them suckers out.
Charles' pull-up game is crazy, yo.
Mark.
In the danger room, just
Cerebro.
Oh God.
Mark, the one thing I wanted to say, part of the reason Professor X got with Lalandra, like part, I mean, look, y'all, he's psychic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what I said last time. He knows exactly what she likes. Exactly what she likes. She ain't never had that before. She came back all the way from the other side of the galaxy to go check on him.
And no,
it was like, forget all your people and stay with me. And she considered no longer being the Empress of the Shi'ar Empire.
Now, yo, she's like, I gotta think about it.
Your jankity planet and no longer run one of the strongest superpowers in the universe?
Did she know?
No, Charles.
did she know or did she go along with it, though? You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, she when Charles was using his powers versus when he wasn't. Hey, was Charles hip?
Does it matter?
Get hip?
Does it matter? Because it does not matter. There was that scene where someone says something about Charles and he's like, oh, he's referring to me as your pet. And he's like, it's kind of appropriate. And she's like, easy boy, you can bark later. I'm like, yo, Charles, is that dude?
He knows exactly what she likes.
Charles is having a good old time in space, though.
He is having a blast, bro. You don't want to go home. He's like, my kids. He's like, they're killing my kids. That is the only reason I have to leave. He was wanting to get his memories about, and they're like, you gonna forget your kids?
You know how this is how much Charles was having a good time, because she even says it's like, it's been a year since he's been up here with us. It has been a year. This man hasn't even called, left an email. He's like, hey, I'll get to it. They got it.
He never told anybody anything. Yet he's like, wait, y'all dying? Wait, I gotta go back now. Things are a problem. Yo,
he hasn't even psychically checked on them.
Charles is in there, dog. Charles is having a good old time.
Having a blast, like, yo.
Did y'all notice, though? It wasn't until he went to the astral plane that he actually felt like something. He had no idea what was going on Earth until he went to the astral plane, because he was like, wait, I'm better than this. I don't need to listen to y'all. I need y'all to come listen to me. And then he was like, wait a minute, Gambit's dead. My children of the Atom are dead. And he went like, yo, I gotta go back home. That part was a little jarring, because it's like, how did you not feel that immediately? You know what I mean?
And did you notice something else, y'all? He only saw Gambit. Which goes to Mike's previous thought, which is Leech may have took Magneto's powers away and saved Magneto's life. Because they're like Omega level threat eliminated, but like he took his powers away to make him not seem like an Omega level threat. Mm. So Mike might be right. No, Mike is right. Magneto has to be alive. Because if he saw Gambit, and he has a closer psychic connection to Eric.
Yeah.
Magneto's alive.
Yeah.
You're right. Because he would have said something. He would have absolutely said something before all that ended. You're right. Yeah. He's got to be alive.
I did like that, Gavin, when he's like, when they're like kind of like squabbling and stuff, and Charles falls on the ground. He's like, yo, what am I doing? Y'all got me twisted. Time out. We're going to my home court. Yeah. And then I love that, I could have watched that. Could have been a whole episode for me. That whole Charles and Stand By Me / Mr. Feeny teaching school. And like I loved it. And they're like, raise your hand. He's like, yes, Mr. Xavier.
He was like, if you have a question, raise your hand. Like, yes, we don't operate like that in my classroom. Like, he did much in the apple and standing up. He was flexing on him real hard.
But dog, he broke down racism, classism, like intense capitalism. He broke it down with a billboard in like a minute.
Yeah.
And like made it like really understandable. And
just like line.
Broke it down.
What did he say? He's like, coexistence is messy.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Like, I love that line.
That was
those are the exact words.
Yeah, Brother Martin right there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but like, no, I mean, nothing is better than
Martin Luther King, but it's just the way that Professor X broke it down so easily, like a teacher.
From a place of deep
pain, but like still understanding. Like the actor did a phenomenal job because I could feel the pain in explaining it, and like I completely understand what this is, and I understand how painful it is to be the ones who are being knocked down. Yeah. But yet, it's so important for me to explain this to you so you get it, even though you'll never fully understand how painful it is to be the ones that you're cutting down. The actor did it. In a minute, was able to like capture that feeling and project and share it out.
And I think they touched on, you know, we talked about this with Genosha a little bit. No matter where they are, people are going to people. This is like one of the biggest empires in the galaxy, and they still got the same issues that are going on Earth. They're going on a ghetto planet Earth. You know what I'm saying? The same issues, classism, discrimination, prejudice. And it's just like these unescapable, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but these emotions, these thoughts, these social constructs cannot be escaped no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Can we jump into it? Because honestly, when we talked about Genosha last episode, and I didn't realize millions had died, seeing Storm's face hurt. Like, actually hurt.
Yeah.
She seemed so upset and so hurt about what happened. I actually was a little like choked up. I was like, oh my gosh, like,
she's really
feeling that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get the sense that everyone, even the X-Men, they may have issue on how Genosha may have started. They may not even fully agree with who's running it, but they all wanted it to work.
Yeah.
Everyone was rooting for it.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw the joy in Rogue and Gambit when they went to Genosha. Like, they're still not really fully like, I mean, the Hellfire Club is on the Quiet Council. They try to kill the X-Men a few times. Like, there's a hesitancy, right, on like the Quiet Council. But Rogue and Gambit and Nightcrawler were like having a ball in the first part of that episode. And real quick, before we go to Storm, I just want to say I'm pretty sure Deathbird's actress is a woman of color. The way that she said ghetto, and I swear I know the actress rolled her neck. I am confident. That ghetto planet.
She's a woman of color for sure.
Yeah. We're going to have to look it up.
There's too much tone in the cartoon colors and the tattoos. That's a woman of color.
Yep.
Let's bet. I've been on Xavier. I'll bet on that one.
All right. We got to check it out. So, there you go, brother. I got you. So, Storm. Storm got her powers back. She is back in her original suit. Lavish. Just lavish. We've never seen this Storm in this animated universe wear her original suit.
This is her original comic suit. Kind of like the other one. I mean, I get it. I bet a lot of people are probably going to like eat me alive because of this, but like, it's the original comic suit. Fine.
No,
but
I think he's talking about the all white. You're talking about the all white outfit, right?
Yeah, I kind of dug the all white, but it still looked good. But so this is her debut comic suit. Okay. All right. Hey, well,
so this is what I'll say. It's like it is her iconic look. The white outfit is very popular. So Jim Lee, I believe, designed that white outfit. Jim Lee is, I would argue, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, comic book illustrator of all time. So when he, like, everything we've seen X-Men related, for the most part, is Jim Lee's illustration design. So you, more than likely, you go on to, like, if you see everybody else's original uniforms, you're going to be like, but the ones that you, like, grew up with are the ones designed by, like, arguably the best of them all. So. Okay. Just to let you know, I kind of like that one too. But Storm got some dope outfits. Mark, Storm got some dope outfits. She don't never look bad, bro. She don't never look bad.
No, I never said she looked bad. But like,
that's
go Google Storm outfits.
That's going to do something for somebody. True. That's going to turn into a long night for somebody. Google a Storm outfit.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
She went Magneto, though. She did go Magneto with the full locks of hair, but if she had cut the one little like strip,
the mohawk,
I would have still, the mohawk.
People love Storm's mohawk, man. And I got, and like some internet folks got real upset with me. But people love Storm's mohawk like a little too much.
Oh, no. They were like, how dare you not like the
mohawk? Unique.
It was so mad at me, yo.
But think about the rest of X-Men. Like the first person you would have thought of to have a mohawk would have been Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like him with them claws, like, whoops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he would have been the first person you thought of. But
how many black women have you seen with a mohawk?
Halle Berry.
Mohawk. And you saw Halle Berry because she was playing Storm.
She was playing Storm.
Wait. Wasn't the girl from Soul Food? Oh, she was gorgeous. Did she have a mohawk or was it a faux hawk?
Wait, who?
The light skin joint that was married to Boris Kojo, didn't she have a little design?
She did. She did have a mohawk. She did. She rocked that well.
See?
She
did.
And she rocked it well. Two. Now think of every other hairstyle you've seen black women have.
I was about to go back to Halle Berry again.
Think of every other hairstyle you've seen black women have. And Storm never had that. But she consistently has that mohawk. That's all I was trying to say. And the internet ate me alive.
Yeah, how dare you?
No, you're trying to make a woke statement. I'm like, I know black women. They take their hairstyle up. Yeah, just 30 different hairstyles. I've only seen black women rock the mohawk twice. I just named them. But I've seen it literally every other hairstyle multiple times, and Storm never had it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to say. And the internet's still going to get mad at me. But that's all I was trying to say.
with this Storm segment, I was like, dang, this could have been a whole episode in itself. I do like we're moving, right? This whole series is moving. And like, there's things that I wish we'd spend more time on, but I feel like, okay, that is like, they know like that is exactly enough what we need. Then we can move on to the next beat.
Yeah,
I will say, I felt like I didn't get enough resolution with the rival. The rival was kind of come and gone very quickly.
Is that the demon?
Yeah.
That big
it starts with an A, though. Like an ancestry anarchist, something like that.
I thought it was that wasn't the rival?
No, yeah. I don't think it was the rival.
So about the demon, I have a question. So I forget where I saw this, but don't we find out that when Nightcrawler teleports, doesn't he actually go through another dimension? And there's like a bunch of like creepy stuff in there. Is that where that thing's from?
I have no idea. What makes you think it's from there?
I was like, oh, maybe it's from, because I just heard that. I remember hearing that somewhere, like Nightcrawler goes through a dimension and there's like all kinds of monsters and stuff. And I was like, well, maybe this is from it.
The adversary.
The adversary, okay.
The adversary. That's what I was wondering about. I felt like that was more just her, like, waking up her own power based on what Forge actually did.
Yeah. I did like the adversary trying to, like, talk Storm out of leaving Forge. Like, girl, look what he did to you. And he ain't got no job. Like, he's living in this shit. Like, you don't need him. And Storm's like, no.
Just like Lalandra in space. The money billion judgmental Siditi kingdom.
No, but that was great stuff, man. And how it it again with these insults when the adversary had Storm in the little like claustrophobic thing, and it's like, you know, you're looking for, you know, are you looking for it? Something with this monotone family. I'm like, dang, good luck.
Or I heard that part too.
Yeah, I'm
like, that was deep.
She said the quiet part loud.
So you the only one. You the only one.
There ain't no other melanated mutants who need protection. Just you, Storm. You just happen to be on those
mechanisms. Planting all the seeds.
And you look like a goddess. And you're the only one. Okay.
Planting all the seeds in Storm's.
That's gotta be a tough pill to swallow. Why you're claustrophobic in a little psychic casket? That's gotta be a tough pill to swallow.
Like you, ooh, and you called her your sister. Okay,
yeah, sure.
Your sister, huh?
Sure did.
Come to find out, it wasn't even G. Oh God! This she needs to go to Wakanda. All right, yo. And so we did hear that Storm call Forge her love. So
yeah,
assuming that they did, you know, reconcile the fact that he shot a dampener or he created the dampener that, you know, took her powers away. But I guess this is affirming that they are together and that the relationship is thriving. You don't think so, Gavin?
Look like to me too.
This person that I've been with for a week or so has almost died. And this person that I've been with for a week or so gave me my powers back through me awakening myself after his failed object. I love him too.
You sound like the Advocator, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like this is more just him being a part. I don't think she's in love with Forge. I don't think.
It's just a trauma bond.
I think yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Probably what it is.
That's the word I was looking for.
We want to believe though, Gavin. We want to believe in love.
I mean, but she rejected him already. Remember, his machine didn't work, little man.
Hey, he did. He's like, I could build you anything you want. She's like,
and she didn't. He didn't build anything. Only thing he built was a road to them getting on horses and then figuring their lives out after the fact.
She was like, "That's cute. That's cute." But
he did use his what do you call it, desert magic to take the adversary away. No, so.
Speaking on that, I think another put another check in my theory of the 97 joining the MCU. That magic looked a lot like the Doctor Strange magic.
100%. It looked exactly like it.
It did. Just like it.
Away when he let his hands go, which has happened before. I agree. That was their introductory to say the magic is coming to our what's the name of the Earth? Like, what's the Earth number?
616.
Yes, they're coming to Earth 616. I agree. I really do.
Two things with that. One, that is in the comics. Like, Forge does have mystic powers. Like, he's cool with the shaman, and he used to practice, but he like. Stop practicing for some traumatic reason. So he does actually have powers. It's not connected to his mutant powers. It's just him like being a shaman. So that's like one. The other thing is, what was I going to say? I don't know if I think. Oh, well, here's the thing. Here's a multiverse rule just for y'all to know, because I have read way too many comic books. Every universe thinks they're the main universe. Literally every universe says they're Earth 616.
Right.
Like the MCU thinks they're 616. X-Men 97 thinks they're 616. The main comic books think they're 616. Just like in the DC universe, every Earth says they're Earth 1. Mm-hmm. Every Earth says they're Earth 1. So here's the thing. We're already in, like, this is a multiverse and everyone thinks they're the main. So there is no like main Marvel universe. You know what I'm saying? Because they think they're already in the main Marvel universe. I just thought it was something funny, but go ahead.
I have two questions. One, because this is a loaded question without actually seeing it, do you think Deadpool can clear that up? Two, do you think Marvel will actually reconcile that or just pull people in when they need to? Because they did and are going to, or excuse me, they are finishing up their Secret Wars film right now, which has had a few of the older actors, Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr., you know, like all these folks involved, you think they're going to just like, you know, do that or that? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, I'm not the comic book expert, but I would say at the end of Loki, I think the way Loki ended season two was genius because it gives you kind of like a cool way to reset, right? Mm-hmm. A cool way to reset things. And then with the previews of Deadpool, it looks like the TVA is involved.
Right.
Like, yes. Exactly. Right. From Loki. So like that has to mean something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just makes a lot of sense to me. And then Nails, we talked about this with the when they announced the cast for Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, Gavin. It looks very retro, right? Yeah, it looks like it's like in the 60s or something. And I was thinking, I talked to Nails about this. And when in the MCU were we in the 60s when Tony and Cap went back to get the Pym particles and Tony met his dad? So I was like, yo, what if that's how the Fantastic Four movie starts, with Captain America going back to put everything, like when he took the Tesseract back and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And then we clash into the like Reed Richards is working at that base. And that's how the Fantastic Four starts. And then, you know, the time travel, what have you, will go, you know, boom, MCU.
That's dope. I mean, did y'all see the Marvels?
I've not watched the Marvels yet.
So, I mean, that tracks. Like, that was actually a very interesting ending. But I will say, they did say that Kelsey Grammer only did the voice of Beast. He's not going to come back as Beast.
I did see the end credit.
They've lied to us before. So, you can't believe anything.
He looks like Beast from 97.
He does, but he's so much more CGI, which, you know, and this is a whole, you know, I hope y'all have a whole nother conversation, which I'll come back for, about practical effects versus CGI, because Nolan is not a Michael Bay. You feel me? Like, they are very opposite ends of the spectrum. But I digress.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny you say that. Hold on, Mark. What do you say about Christopher Nolan?
He's the rich man's Michael Bay.
Come on, yo. he spends time building out freaking scientists who will build out projects that will explode and or evolve in real time. I'll give you all this. Hold up, because I know this is a different subject. Steven Spielberg and Jurassic Park had some of the most amazing practical effects, not because they put a whole T-Rex on screen, but because they built T-Rex face and arms out of nothing.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was eating the goat. If we had more of that, we would all be more impressed with the cinematic anything with practical effects.
Because it's light hitting an object. It's actual tangible thing. But like, I'll always champion practical, but Nolan is fine wine and Michael Bay is binge drinking. And sometimes you like to just go crazy and have a fun Saturday night. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
Touche. Hey.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's the best analogy ever, yo.
It tracks. It tracks. Hey. And you know what? Back to the X-Men episode. So, y'all, any other things you want to cover before we wrap things up?
Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking two things. Professor X, because I was hoping you would talk to me about this. Professor X is back. I knew he was not going to be dead. That's the one thing. Yeah. My other thing is the Shi'ar Empire. That is too big an entity for him to just leave and them have no consequence for anything that happens. So it seems like to me they are still setting up the sequences for what we saw for future, like Flash, like imagery of Wolverine and Storm and Bishop. Remember when they were like trying to treat Wolverine when he was like dying, and then you would see his body as like that exoskeleton and all adamantium, and they were trying to keep him alive. I think there's no choice we have. We're still barreling towards that. And this is just the interweaved stories that are very deep into what that's going to be, because Gambit still looks the same. Bishop has never changed. Charles is still there. Wolverine is absolutely still there. All the elements of what those flash forwards used to be are still there. I feel like they're building us up to those moments that we haven't seen yet.
And you're saying like you're saying that we're like, we've already seen like the last two episodes of the season.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We've been seeing like
we've seen clips of it, series
finale. And we're leading the lead. Yeah, and we're getting to the lead. Like all of this is the lead up, but all the flashbacks are like the last two. That's going to be amazing.
They are giving us the finale, and we have not seen it yet, but we've already seen
all these psychic flashbacks. Yeah.
Well, it feels. Oh, yeah, man. Like it. That's funny you say that, because I was, when watching this, I was like, this feels very Game of Thrones in the sense of like when Game of Thrones, you know, you had all these like intricate story arcs all spread across this world. And you're like, how are all these going to like merge together? But they did eventually. They all, you know, say what you will, how Game of Thrones ended. But all those like people and characters, they came to one point. And it's like, I think that's where we're going. And all these little Mr. Sinister, I don't think it's an accident that in the opening credits you see Cable and Apocalypse, like,
yeah,
you know, the little flashes when Jean saw the Phoenix and stuff, like all that's just slowly.
It's like it's all leading up to this,
yeah. Which is nuts, because I'm like, that's some big, like that's like mega level story arcs, and they're just all like hammered it in the first season.
That's exactly what I was saying, because remember, Nils, I was telling you, I was like, yo, they're not showing Charles Xavier in the beginning of the opening credits. Like, he's dead. He's going to come back. Like, and here he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nightcrawler was not in this episode, but if you go to this most
previous episode. Yeah, it had Nightcrawler on it.
Nightcrawler was all over that journey.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he was in the Gambit title. He was in the title crew. Yeah, and Gambit wasn't there. But, yeah.
But you see what I'm saying?
It's low-key how I'm keeping track of who's alive or not. But Magneto didn't. No, Magneto was.
No, Magneto wasn't in the
So credit. I'm like, all right, these are the folks who are.
But Magneto was still there. Magneto was still there.
No. In the title frame, they didn't have Magneto.
Not in this episode.
You and the X thing.
He was gone. Him and Gambit were gone.
Yeah.
Oh dang.
Yeah.
Those writers are very clever. Okay.
All right, y'all. Anything else?
Man, I can't wait for 7, dude. It's great.
Time out. Before y'all say anything else, because I remember being the only person last time, where's the camera? There it is. That y'all said this was better than Invincible. I still disagree. And I am waiting for the Invincible recap / episodes, because it's only been 6 episodes now. Six.
Yes.
Invincible has 2 seasons, and I would still.
Brother, we haven't gotten to the you, I hear you. We will get to the end of the season, and then we will have that conversation. But for now, it's in the argument. Can't refute that. It's in the argument. And thank you all. Thank you. Thank you, Clyde. Thank you, Gav. And thank you, PopCult, for listening. We have a new episode every month. You can find us on all social media at PopCultParent, PopCultParent. Visit us at www.popcultparent.com. Become a member of the PopCult at our Patreon, patreon.com/PopCultParent, where you can see all our full video episodes. Email us at PopCultParent@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate us, review, and subscribe. And as always, join the cult.
Peace.
Pop.